Sensing your humanitarian zeal for helping those on the lower rungs of life's ladder, it has occurred to me, as well as the other participants in the radium dial suit, that you forged the beginning of a society whereby those, of which there must be thousands, could band together, secure legal aid and, in general, use our organised presence to simplify, promote and improve the laws relative to those who are maimed due to occupational hazards. Grossman thought it brilliant. And so, on Saturday 26th of February 1938, the Society had its first meeting. The founding members were Pearl Payne, Marie Rossiter, Charlotte Purcell and Catherine Donahue. Three of the four went to Chicago to meet Grossman. Catherine, far too ill to travel, was represented by Tom. They called themselves, with an instinct for a media hook that possibly came from Grossman, the Society of the Living Dead. "The purpose of the Society," announced Grossman to the gathered press, "is to obtain better protection by legislation and otherwise for persons endangered by occupational diseases." The meeting coincided with the filing of Grossman's first legal brief to Marvel, which was probably deliberate. "He loved the press," said his son. As the camera bulbs flashed, Grossman gave the girls their own copy of the pale green brief, signing Pearl's with the slogan, "In Humanity's Cause." The dense document was some 80,000 words in length, and it saw Grossman in full flow. "The circumstances call," he wrote, "for the sharpest pen I can unsheath. I ask simply that the law's protecting folds ever serve as a shield to protect, and not a sword to destroy, the human right of Catherine Donahue to compensation. Give Catherine only what is justly and rightly due her under the law of God and man, and you will give her the award we ask." The brief was filed in the late afternoon, just in time to catch the evening papers, and the press were all over it. Coverage of the case jostled for space on the front page with stories about the Nazis in Germany. And if it was a trial by media, the girls would have won, hands down. The papers called Radium Dial criminally careless. The press asked Tom Donahue if there was any hope of a cure. He replied that Francis Perkins, the Secretary of Labour, had sent medical authorities to investigate. There'd been some hope that a calcium treatment might prolong Catherine's life, but her illness was too advanced for her to survive the process. The federal investigations Perkins had ordered into the women's poisoning appear to have come to nothing. The government, struck by a double-dip recession within the Great Depression, had other priorities. One politician admitted they were floundering about the economy. "We have pulled all the rabbits out of the hat, and there are no more rabbits," he said. It was cold comfort to Tom, who was still without a job. Although the calcium treatment was not possible, Catherine still refused to surrender. "I am hoping for a miracle," she said. "I pray for it. I want a claim to life and to stave off the end for the sake of my husband and children." Catherine's own mom had died when she was six. She knew what it was like to grow up without a mother, and she was determined that her own children would not suffer the same fate. But for all Catherine's courageous talk, as the weeks passed and they all waited for the verdict, her health deteriorated rapidly.